Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Running on Love with God. My name is Lori Michelle, and I am broadcasting from Israel. And my co-host, Anna Marie, is in Chicago. Hello, Anna Marie, how are you?
Hi, Lori.
We're having a little bit of a rough beginning. We're going back to our old way of recording this for YouTube, where I'm recording my end, and Anna Marie, you're recording yourself on your end, and Anna Marie will splice us together for our broadcast this week. This week is a very important broadcast, and it is about life after death, or is there one? And the name of the program is called Can You Truly Have Any Secrets? Warning, you are being watched. And I'm going to begin this broadcast to clarify that this is about what happens to you when you cross over and you die. And I'm going to connect the dots because the name of the program is a little bit misleading. It says, can you have any secrets? Warning, you're being watched. And I posted a picture of a man behind the computer. And I said in the post that wealthy people believe that they have the approval of God, but in one keystroke, it's all gone. And it's a picture of a man behind a computer who's very upset about what he's seeing. Likely, he's watching the Dow Jones Industrial Average tank and his portfolio with Merrill Lynch going into the abyss. And a lot of wealthy people around the world believe that their wealth is a sign of God's approval, and it's not necessarily the truth. And I posted that picture, and I said that this program is about what truly happens when you cross over, and what do you feel when you realize that you're out of body and you're standing before what's known as the heavenly court. And the answer is that, by and large, people who cross over and have the blessing of returning to get it right are humiliated, including the rich and the wealthy and people who thought that in their life they had God's favor. In this world, the physical realm, we are misled to believe that this is what there is. This is, you know, my face, my things, my iPhone, my money, my house, my children, my husband, the things that we acquire in this life is a testimony of a life well lived. And it may be, but the truth of the matter is, in this time period right now, the world is in chaos and turmoil. And there are people around the world suffering from acts of terror and war. There are people starving in this world. There's a lot of problems all over the world. And there are people who are living a great life in America, in Israel, in Europe, and they don't see a need to get involved in the work of world peace. They're leaving it up to other people and feel that they can't make a change that will make any difference in the world. And they are very self-centered, meaning they live their life, they go to church, synagogue, the mosque, or other religions, go to other forms, other places where they worship in their own way, and they believe they're doing all the right things. Well, I'm here to explain what happens when we cross over, what's expected of us when we're here, and to inform everyone, meaning everyone in the world, that we're all getting it wrong, that there is no person right now on the face of the earth who's getting it completely right. And so, God forbid you cross over, you find out that that new Ferrari that you put in your driveway is not a testimony from God that you got it right, that he's singing your praises. In fact, it could be completely the opposite. So before I go on much longer, I'm going to turn the floor over to you, Anna Marie, for you to ask me questions.
Okay, I'm going to back up to the title. which was Can You Truly Have Any Secrets? Warning, You Are Being Watched. When you sent me the title, you said, I hope you like the subject matter. And I wrote back to you, this is the subject matter that terrifies me the most. I prefer to forget every stupid and wrong thing I have ever done. It is horrifying to think that it will all be brought up to me. And you said, wrong, it is empowering. So can you please explain how it's empowering to know how harshly we're going to be judged?
Well, let me start by answering what you just said, how harshly we're being judged. That's not correct. Let me correct you, please, in telling you that it's not that you're being judged harshly. It's the fact that you're being held accountable for the promises that you made before you came into being. No one's judging you harshly, Anna Marie. No one's judging anyone harshly. God is holding you accountable to all the things that you promised and made a covenant with him before you ever arrived here. So is that judging you harshly? If you've made a promise to God himself that you would come into this world and do your very best in every moment to choose him over evil, is that judging you too harshly to hold you accountable for every choice that you made?
Well, why are we set up to forget what we promised before we got here? It feels like hiring somebody but not telling them what job you're hiring them to do, and then after many, many decades, giving them a performance review.
The reason that your mind, your conscious mind, is erased is to truly test and show what your soul really knows and understands. In other words, it's like you going to an exam in college and given all the answers before you take the test. How does the professor know that you've learned a thing? So you go into the test, you've studied for it without your realizing it, Anna Marie. You've been prepared for this life before you ever got here. You came with instructions and an outline of what your life was supposed to be, and now your life is a test every minute of every day. So to send you here with all the answers is not truly testing you. And that's why. I know this is very hard to fathom, that you know everything, that subconsciously, meaning your spirit, is very wise and knows and understands much more than your conscious mind allows you to believe.
Okay, you said that we are here to bring peace to this world, but we have dual roles, don't we? We have the work we need to do to survive in this world, and then we have the spiritual work that you say we must do.
It's all related. All the work that we do, whether it's preparing a meal or doing the laundry or reading the Bible, it's all related. In every single moment, and in every single activity that we do in this world, we are to choose goodness and godliness in every aspect of our lives. It's all interconnected. Let me give you a small example. If I go to the shopping mall and I'm paying at the checkout counter and I can't find my wallet for a moment, and the woman or the man standing behind the counter is getting testy and impatient, rolling their eyes. Ugh, why can't she just find her wallet? She's taking up all my time. In that moment, that person is choosing evil. Yes, Sahara, the evil inclination. They are more important than the person who misplaced their wallet. And they're choosing to be nasty and impatient to another human being. So it sounds like you're being judged unfairly, but would you say it's unfair to require the cashier to treat you politely. Maybe, God forbid, the person who can't find their wallet just received news that their father just died of a heart attack, and they need to pay quickly and get on their way because they need to run to their family. You don't know what is going on with anybody else around you. So to assume that someone is taking up your time or being impatient or being annoying is being less than compassionate and considerate of the other person. And we cannot afford to be those kind of people anymore. Before you got here, Anna Marie, when we didn't have bodies, we were aware. We are a microcosm of our Creator, who is all patient, all knowing, loving, and never derisive or impatient with us. And it's our job to be the same here on earth in every moment to each other.
How does that bring peace to this earth? You said that's our job. If we're kind to everyone that we interact with, how does that work into the broader job of bringing peace?
It's every moment. Every moment that you're not choosing to be the best that you can be, the best person that you can be, little transgressions that you think are unnoticed. Nobody's going to see me if I take a little extra and bill this client a $10 extra. He won't know. And I need extra money to build that deck on the back of my house. Or, you know, I was a little short last month, so I need a little extra, a little $10 extra in this invoice and a little $10 extra in that invoice. They'll never know. But God forbid you cross over and you cheated someone, you're going to stand before the heavenly court. There's truly a heavenly court, and they're going to show you and replay to you those transgressions that you think are hidden, they're in the closet, nobody will ever know, and we're accountable. And it shouldn't have to be, in my humble opinion, that you're accountable and know that you're being watched in order to choose the right thing. The right thing should be the blessing. Being good should feel good, and that should be the reward. It shouldn't be a matter of, if I don't do the right thing, I'm going to get punished. I'm going to be before the heavenly court, and then I have to answer for it and feel humiliated, so I better do the right thing. Doing the right thing should feel wonderful and feel like you're on purpose. And why is that so difficult, Anna Marie? And you're asking, how will that bring world peace? Well, imagine a world where in every moment, everybody is on purpose trying to put the other person first, trying very hard. If that cashier saw someone struggling to find their wallet, waited patiently, or maybe even said, ma'am, are you okay today? Take your time. It's okay. What kind of world would this be if people treated each other like that?
It would be much nicer, but that's really enough to bring peace on earth?
Well, expand on it, Anna Marie. If instead of two, I don't remember how many, just Friday, a few terrorists showed up at the Temple Mount and killed and murdered two Israeli policemen because of whatever they felt in their ideology was something they were going to make a statement about. There's a lot of trouble here in Israel. So imagine that instead of two people or three people conspiring to murder others, they held back and said, those two police officers are somebody's son, someone's husband. One of the police officers had, a 3-week-old child. What if those terrorists paused for a moment and said, that could be my brother. That could be my son. And they stopped themselves from murdering another person. Expanded times 7.5 billion people. Not everybody's a terrorist, mind you. I'm realistic to know that there are radical people who do horrible things, and then there are people who just had their invoices, $10 here and there, nobody will notice. But what if in every single moment you were very conscious of your desire and your responsibility to choose goodness and the best that you can be in every moment?
Which brings up another question. Are we also accountable for every good thing that we do? Does that get noticed and called out in the heavenly court?
He's saying right now, everything is measured. Every act of kindness and goodness does bode well for you. But what you have to understand is that every transgression is felt very deeply by the soul, especially the more noble you are, the more good you are, the more it's going to hurt when you took the liberties in those little cases. In other words, someone who is capable of doing something really nasty, like, God forbid, rape or murder, is not going to feel as much pain as, let's say, a priest or a rabbi who's caught stealing $100. The magnitude of a sin to someone who's righteous and good is going to be felt much more deeply and more painfully than someone who has completely lost their way and is void of any goodness. So the warning is, be aware. We are being watched every moment, and you are accountable for all your actions. But God willing, your desire to be good comes from not fear of retribution, that you're going to be suffering from your sins, but that you're going to choose goodness because you desire to be closer to God, Hashem God, and more like Him. And that the idea of not being like Him is too painful for you to even consider.
Are children judged differently? Or if your background did not provide any instruction, do you get judged more leniently?
Everything is taken into account. Every person is unique. We all have a unique fingerprint, and children are clearly not held to the same accountability as grown adults. There is nothing in this life that doesn't matter. So when you said, don't your good deeds matter? Every single action, every single breath you take, every decision you make, matters. It looks like we live in a world where it's happenstance and it just happened that way and it's lots of luck, but there is truly no such thing as luck. Everything has a reason and an outcome, and it's all in God's plan. It doesn't look like He's involved, but He's involved in everything in our lives. And it's hard for you to fathom, I'm sure, as it is for everyone, Anna Marie, that one being can know everything. And I mean everything. It's not fathomable to us as human beings, but He surely does. And it's all on purpose.
You asked three questions in your intro, and I'm going to fire them back at you. You can answer them how, in whatever order you want. The three questions you asked were, why the heck are you here? What are you supposed to be doing to get this right? How do we bring peace on earth? I assume all three questions are related, but if you can answer, maybe starting with, why the heck are we here?
We're here because we are blessed. We are here, and we were created in the first place because God himself, Hashem, desired a family. He desired love and appreciation and connection in the same way that we desire love and connection, in the same way that we grow up and many of us choose to marry and have children and procreate because we desire love and connection and relationships. This world is populated with human beings who are created in his image. We are like him. We are of him. But we're not God. And what is expected of us when we come here is that we emulate him. It's not possible ever to be exactly like him. There is only one God. But it is our job to bring godliness into this world through our choices every minute. And we are responsible to bring godliness into this world in every moment. So choosing the opposite of God is the opposite of our responsibility. Could you repeat the three questions? Because
okay,
I don't
so
have them in front of me, Emily.
You got the first one. The second one was, what are you supposed to be doing to get this right?
Choosing goodness in God in every decision, in every moment, and learning what it is that is required of us. There are a lot of people who go around in a bubble, a zombie-like bubble, and they go to work and they make money and they buy their things and they have their families and they go play tennis and they go to the beach, and they recognize that they believe in God and they give to charity and they think that's enough. But it's not enough. We need to hold ourselves to a higher standard, and we need to work on ourselves and understand in every moment how we're choosing. And right now in this world, too many people are too often choosing the wrong energy, meaning evil. They're choosing self-centeredness. They're choosing drugs. They're choosing alcohol. They're choosing the wrong things and going with the crowd because, hey, you only live once, so let's go get drunk. That sounds like fun. Instead of, let's go to a study session and learn about the Bible. Sounds boring, right? Some young person might say, that's ridiculous. I'm going to go get drunk. But unfortunately, that's not why you're here. So what was the third part of the question
The third part was, how do we bring peace on earth? And I think you covered that, which is by choosing good in every moment.
That's true. And the challenge is, there are many people in the world who are decent people, good people, children of God, and they believe that they are leading a God-driven life, and they are doing things that are totally the opposite and the antithesis of God's prescription for a holy and beautiful life here on earth. Would you like an example?
Yes.
What prompted my post of the man behind the computer saying, wealthy people believe that they have God's approval, but in a keystroke, it's all gone. And I warn in the post, be careful, he's watching you. Nothing is unnoticed. And several weeks ago, it might have been 4 weeks ago, I saw a post on LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is a business networking site that really has the most sins that I see being put out in public. In other words, the posts that business people who are online looking to make a living and putting information on social media are more often going against God and God's prescription of a beautiful life than anywhere else that I've seen. And it looks benign, and it looks like it's all in a day's work. But a few weeks ago, I saw a man post a picture of his brand new Ferrari. And he, in the post, said that he was so grateful to God, and he talked about all his successes, and it showed a picture of his brand new Ferrari. And from what I understand, the Ferrari is maybe a $300,000 car. I don't even know. I've never looked into it, but it's quite expensive. And there were hundreds of thumbs up, but there were a few people who were very annoyed by the post. It was bragging. It was pompous. It was equating God's approval with his new Ferrari. And people took exception to it. And I replied to the post and took a picture of my little shopping cart that cost me about $15, and that's how I shop now. I don't even own a car. And I know full well I not only have God's approval, but he's speaking to me in plain English every day. So this man who has a Ferrari and wealth is posting and bragging that he has God's approval, and his post clearly showed that he has no idea what God is thinking of him, and that God, Hashem, is finding his boastful post an abomination to God himself. So what I'm saying to you, Anna Marie, is that people have no idea, and they're posting things thinking they're being godly, and hundreds of people are saying, thumbs up to you and your Ferrari, and God loves you. And I'm here talking to Hashem God, and he's saying, no, golden calf personified. He's worshiping idols. He's not worshiping God in that post. He's kissing himself and patting himself on the back and saying to the world, God loves me because I have a new Ferrari. And it is deeply narcissistic and evil. And he doesn't know it. And I'm not saying that this man is beyond repair. I'm saying he's clueless. And the hundreds of people who are saying thumbs up are clueless as well. And that's where the world has to go. The world is spinning out of control, and people are worshiping things like Ferraris and diamonds, while there are people dying of starvation halfway around the world. And their attitude is, well, you know, what can I do? It's not my fault. Not my bad. YOLO. You only live once. Let me go get my Ferrari. I hope I made myself clear. Here we go.
All right, I'm going to ask you a closing question, and that is, you said protect yourself and learn to choose God and his goodness in every moment. So here's the question. How?
If you're a person that God has blessed with a good job and income, measure. He measures you. Understand that every decision you make, you're accountable. And you would not have that job. You would not have $1 in your bank account if it were not for God himself. Be grateful and be conscious. Be a conscious, grateful child of God, and always look for ways to bring goodness and godliness in every single action, and know that your wealth is temporary, and it's not necessarily a measure of his approval, but it's a test. What are you going to do next? Imagine him standing there folding his hands and looking at you and wondering, what are you going to do with that wealth? You're going to buy a Ferrari, or are you going to help someone else in need? And with that, I want to thank you for joining this program of Running on Love with God. And if you want to talk to me, go to LoriMichelle.net. I'm here to help. May there be peace on earth in our time. God bless you. I'm rooting for you.